Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're looking at the year in running, accompanied by four of the Runner's World team, Andy Dixon, Ali Ball, Kate Carter and Rachel Boswell. Welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks. Great to have you here. Yeah.
What a team.
Listen to that enthusiasm in the room.
Wasn't it? Wow. Yeah. It must have been a really good year.
It was an amazing year, Ben. Let's start by celebrating some of the highlights. Andy, let's start with you. We've asked everyone to pick a kind of global highlight and a personal highlight, but let's do global ones to start.
Right. So I'm going to go with Sifan Hassan's marathon debut in London in April. Is in April, isn't it? I should know that.
Oh yeah, the London
16 years.
The London marathon, Andy. Yeah.
What I liked about this, apart from being an absolutely incredible athlete, I mean, we can talk about her range, you know, she's 800 metres, 156, you know, mile world record holder, 5K road world record holder, and she comes into the marathon and she kind of, I think she there's something very relatable about the fact that she's not done it kind of properly. She's not really, she kind of said by her own admission, she didn't train properly for it. She said she didn't practice picking up water bottles in training because of Ramadan. And she's pictured before the race starts in tears because she's so stressed about how it's going to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
And during the race, she stops twice, her hips kind of playing up. And I think we've all been there, haven't we? In races where you think, oh, this is gone now. But something just magical happens. She just kind of started reeling in after being like half a minute behind. She starts reeling in the leaders and ends up winning the race, even though she almost gets run over by a race motorbike when she kind of, you know, she veers across the road to pick up a water bottle. So, you know, apart from she's an amazing athlete, but I think there's something just very charming and relatable about her, and she's just great. It's great to see her in interviews, and I think at a time when kind of athletics is struggling for kind of exposure, she's the kind of dream kind of character, you know, that's just so kind of charismatic.
Yeah,
that I think. Yeah. But what a debut! I mean, that's.
It was a decent, decent time as well, wasn't it? It was like 2:17 or something she ran. It was amazing, yeah.
So that would be my pick.
I also like the pre-interviews, as you mentioned, like the way she was completely like, oh, I'm dreading it. Like you kind of had it because you know everyone's so media trained now that's just like, yes, training has gone very well, I'm a robot, and listen to my responses. And she was like, oh god, it's gonna be awful, you know, and you're like, oh, everyone completely relates to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we often think and we often kind of muse about, you know, are the elites really different to us in marathons? Are they in pain? Can they just block it out? And I think this showed us that actually that they are the same as us.
Yeah.
They have the same doubts. They have the same kind of stresses on the start line. You know, she made the same mistakes during the race. So it was just it was good to see. They're not just kind of robots who just like churn out these amazing results. Even though, yeah, as I've said, her talent is incredible.
Oh, excellent start. Kate, you're quite a fan of Sifan Hassan, aren't you? I feel like she's your kind of runner.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely, I love that she always brings the drama wherever she is. She always brings the drama and the chaos. And she's always, she's always great for a quote in the mix zone afterwards and everything. Although, Still have a slight reservation over her history, having been trained by Alberto Salazar.
Yes.
It's always just sort of worth a little asterisk for that one. But yeah, no, London. And then of course, she ran faster in, was it Chicago? It was Chicago, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Yeah, the range is just insane.
It's amazing.
I always wonder, though, like when you're that fast as a middle distance runner, if you are then able to be strong enough and build your body enough to resist, to cope with the long miles, you must spend most of that marathon thinking, God, is this slow?
Yeah, this is easy, yeah.
It's like my warm-up pace.
Yeah. I've heard someone say that the shoes is maybe bringing in the kind of people from middle distance,
yeah.
potentially, because it's kind of helping with, like, economy and efficiency. So if you're bringing in speed, actually,
yeah.
the shoes will help a little bit more than they might. So
yeah, and the recovery as yeah. well. Yeah.
Linford Christie up next. Watch out next
what a
year.
Comeback.
Watch out next year.
What a comeback.
That would really
be. Barcelona 92 through to late.
That's a range, Ben.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right, who are we going to pick next? You can choose.
Rachel.
Okay. My highlight of the year is Josh Kerr winning the 1500 metres in Budapest at the World Championships. Amazing performance, but I think the best bit about that is the fact that it's the second time that Jakob Ingebrigtsen has lost to a Brit. So I think that, you know, that in itself is quite a fun thing.
Course of celebration.
Nothing against, you know, the talented Ingebrigtsen, but yeah, Josh Kerr did an amazing run, and obviously very recently, ran 61:51 in San Diego for his second ever half marathon.
Yeah.
As you do. So yeah, I think Josh Kerr is one to watch. You know, maybe he is the next Sifan Hassan, going from the 1500 up the distance, marathon next. Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, that's a.
It was a
for me.
Great moment. Yeah,
yeah, it was really good. And Kate was talking about these topics earlier, and Kate made two good points. Well, first of all, the half marathon was downhill.
It's not a legit course in the record sense.
I mean, it's still very fast.
It's decent time, isn't it?
It's great time.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, maybe if it had been a flat course, he would have had a couple more minutes or something. But the other thing was, you know, and there's been a bit of trash talk from Kerr now ahead of the Olympics. And
in terms of what, like
calling out Ingebrigtsen was sort of like giving it a bit of like, oh, you know, this guy was ill, or like pretending to be ill, or, you know, he said it on a different podcast, not very good podcast,
inferior podcast.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think it kind of raises this thing of like, Whiteman beat Ingebrigtsen, a healthy, full fit, well, as far as we know, Ingebrigtsen, and, you know, there's still this sort of like little slight sort of like, I mean, but you can
only beat who you're up against.
Completely agree. And I just think it makes it even more interesting coming for the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
agreed,
there's this
yeah.
sort of like, sort of twist in the tail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like the trash talk as well, because I like a bit of middle distance trash talk. It's always the sprinters, usually. It's all the kind of like, you know, jockeying in the start, like giving each other, you know, the Jamaicans versus the Americans there's always beef there. So it's quite fun bringing it to. I think we should have more trash talk on the marathon start. Like.
Yeah, I agree. Wow. Yeah.
Like sledging in cricket.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
really,
you're like mile 20. Yeah. You're a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Give us your highlight then, Ben.
Me?
Yeah.
Go on then. Mine was Evans Chebet defending his Boston title, which in itself was great. I like Evans. I've met him once.
Oh, during your Kenyan odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, you know, my mate did it. No, but it was more just, I like what he was about, and I just like the way he races. And he's very softly spoken, and he's quite a quiet guy, and it's just a sort of like he does his proving on the race track.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he's got all that to him.
He's not trash talking.
Certainly not.
Right.
As far as I know. the significance was Kipchoge was at the start line.
Yeah.
And it was this whole like, he's never, you know, won Boston, and he's done, you know, and he's gonna do it now, this is it, and it's just another easy sort of like tick for him. And it really wasn't, and it was kind of the first time that we kind of the crown slipped a little, and I think that was kind of like, oh, that was significant. He wasn't quite the guy that everyone, you know, he didn't just turn up and absolute, and like mile 19 when it was Gabriel Gay like sort of put in a dig and he just couldn't follow, and then there was a lead group, and then there was Kipchoge, and you don't see that.
Yeah, it will happen. It's almost like feel like his demise will be similar to like Federer's. You know, I mean, where they almost like win a few things and it won't be like a falling off a cliff, but actually you'll be like, oh, it's suddenly a bit more beatable.
Yeah.
To it's like, but I mean, he.
Are we seeing it now though?
Maybe, yeah, I think so.
I mean, he won Berlin, but just.
Yeah.
Didn't set a world record. And now you've got all these fast people coming at him.
I do love that our measure of whether or not Kipchoge is
slipping is because of
whether or not he's got
faster.
A world record. It's like, oh, bad day, didn't get a world record.
Yeah.
I just think next year could be quite exciting because there's a lot of people now who are in the same realm as him.
Definitely, yeah.
So I think going into the Olympics, or if people choose not to do the Olympics and do faster races, he might have to watch out.
They're in the same realm as a fading Kipchoge.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Or
is
shame that Evans Chebet's not in the Kenyan Olympic squad, is he? Because he's injured, isn't he, now? Yeah, it's a shame.
I'd like to hope he hasn't lost his crown, but...
It's going to happen.
I mean, it will absolutely happen. Yeah. And you've got a new world record holder.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I kind of, you know... That in itself is significant. How old is... 21?
Well, Kelvin Kiptum, he's 21, 22 maybe? 23. Yeah, he's early 20s, isn't he?
So, you know.
How old is Kipchoge? Does anyone really know?
No one's sure. Ali, give us your highlight of the year.
My highlight of the year is continuing from inspirational women, is Tigster Seefer setting a new women's world record in the marathon distance in a time of 2 hours, 11 minutes and 53 seconds.
That's amazing.
Which is huge. I mean, it's amazing for a few reasons. Firstly, that's 2 minutes, 11 seconds faster than Brigid Kosgei's time of 2 hours, 14 at Chicago a few years ago. It also makes her the first woman to beat the 2 hours 14 world record, well, break the 2 hours 14 barrier, 2 hours 13 barrier, and 2 hours 12 barrier. And it was also, of course, the racing debut of the Adizero Evo Pro 1, which is Adidas's £400 racing shoe.
Yeah. It's a whole sweep of stuff that went on with that whole record.
Yeah.
I think that the thing we were talking about this earlier is that a lot of these brand new shoes when they come out, and we've seen it, and all the rhetoric around a shoe is always that it's been validated by like a male world record or some sort of event with Kipchoge or whatever it was. And what was really this is coincidence or whatever circumstance, like there wasn't a male winner in that shoe and it was a female winner, but I think that it's in the whole journey of super shoes, and like it's the first time.
It's female led, basically.
Exactly.
Didn't Brigid Kosgei run in? She was running in Nike.
Yeah, but she was. But it was that shoe had already broken. Do you see what I mean?
It was already broken that record. Big, yeah.
It was like, oh, and she's done it in that shoe now. Whereas this was like.
This was the debut of that shoe. I don't think anyone had been wearing it for a race before that. So everything was centered around it. And it was her that sort of propelled it into, okay, they said it was good. It is actually good.
Yeah.
And I think just the shots of her sort of holding it above her head and kissing it at the end.
Which
is iconic.
Which Adidas are very adamant that it was not a marketing strategy.
Sure. Yeah. She just really loved them.
Yeah. But I do just think that shoe in itself is just so, so interesting. It's £400. They just had the second release of it that the public can buy as well. Okay. Like it's hard to get your hands on it.
If it guarantees me a world record, I'll buy a world record.
Yeah. Rach, you're a very good marathon runner. I've heard people say that 2:11 for the marathon maybe is more impressive than the kind of sub 2 hour for men. Could you put it in perspective? Do you think how amazing a performance do you think that is?
I mean, I think it's significant. I mean, to like knock over 2 minutes off the existing world record.
Yeah.
I think it is. I mean, call me biased, but I think it may actually be more impressive because you think about the men's world records and we're talking like marginal gains or like course records, like in Valencia, like this month, new course record by 5 seconds. Mm. You think 5 seconds, that's in running, that's quite a lot, even in marathon running. Mm. But when you're thinking, okay, over 2 minutes, like you sort of like count and you're like, that's pretty
per mile you're looking at. Yeah,
I feel like the elite world, when you've got tons of people and this is like their job, just training to do this distance.
I think
it is quite significant, but I do think the how much, what would that have been in a different shoe would have been quite interesting. So it would be interesting to see what a Sifa can do again. Maybe, yeah. Like, I mean, obviously, she'll probably want to wear that shoe again. Not that exact pair, because obviously it's, you know, single use. But
no, apparently not. We'll see.
They'll be like falling apart like mile two. I think it is probably a more exciting space.
I think if you take that sort of the way that the trajectory of these things have gone, like Paula's record was absolutely like held fast for years and years and years and years. And then there was that small little like, broke it. But then to take two and a bit minutes or whatever it was, like that's...
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But what could Paula have run in super shoes?
Yeah. It's hard to say, isn't it?
We need a time machine.
Also, it's the fact that she set such a big record based off of her last year time. I think it goes to show that with the women's area, it could be anyone's game a little bit. Mm. Like, you never know. There could be some people next year that come up and knock minutes off like she did.
Yeah. Mm. It's time for an advert.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now back to the podcast. Right, we've talked a lot about sort of elite...
I haven't done one yet.
A marathon runners. So come on, Rick. What's your personal highlight? Not personal highlight, but what's... Just to throw in, come on, a bit of something different.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm going to choose Courtney Dalwater, who... She's a triple crown of 100 milers. So Western States, that's the end of June. Hard Rock 100 in July, about 3 weeks later. And then UTMB beginning of September. She won all of them. Set records in the first two. No one's ever done it. Male or female, and I just love the way I think she is an individual. Like she's self-trained. She's always talked about as being a good laugh. I always think that's maybe relative in terms of like ultra runners, like people running like 100 mile, they're not mega lols, people are, yeah, they, as a rule. But I think she likes a beer, and she's kind of you know, she runs in from a kind of fashion perspective, is kind of in basketball shorts and that kind of thing. So I think she does things on her own terms, which I like. Yeah, probably went a bit more under the radar than if, say, Kilian Jornet did it. He's done two of those before. I think he won Hard Rock and UTMB in the same year.
Right.
But probably because people are still more fascinated in male running, you know, there's probably still a slant towards that probably went slightly under the radar. But I think it's amazing. Yeah, like properly historic thing. And she said... I think whenever you're given the opportunity to do something challenging, difficult, you should. Today was very, very difficult. This is after winning the UTMB, but worth it. So, yeah, I think, definitely deserving of making the rostrum in this.
There was some incredible videos of, like, the crowds.
Oh, I was there, yeah. It was like a rock star running through. I felt slightly sorry for any of the... Because, obviously, she was... I can't remember what position she was overall, but there were some men, obviously, ahead of her. And if there was a guy who was just, you know, probably in about 15th position or something, get running through, it was like, get out of my view of Courtney. Yeah. Thousands of people. And like, it's a bit like the Tour de France when you see those shots when you're just like, oh God, someone's going to fall. Yeah. It was a bit like that. You're like, let the woman run.
Can you give us an insight into what it was like being in Chamonix for UTMB? Because I think a lot of people listening will have be aware of the UTMB, but not maybe not kind of how insane it is to be on the ground there.
Yeah, I mean, it just turns into this kind of crazy atmosphere. It's rammed with people, you know, obviously because you've got a series of races from the sort of the shorter, inverted commas, shorter ones through to the UTMB itself. So you get people in town and they're supporting someone, maybe doing one of the races themselves. So there's just hundreds of people everywhere. Everyone's wearing their like gilets from their previous UTMBs, or it's basically like a one-upmanship of what is the hardest t-shirt you can wear. Like, you know, I ran 800 trillion miles without stopping. I always wanted to, I've been there a few times, I really want to turn up in like a junior part run t-shirt.
The double Barclay. That'd be good. Anyone's ever made the list? We were talking, weren't we? Harvey Lewis, he ran 450 miles without stopping.
Yes, he did.
The Backyard Ultra. And he's like a high school teacher.
That's so a lot.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
I think a sort of from the world of running, a highlight was the marathon in Mexico where a third of people running were disqualified. So 33,000, 11,000 people were disqualified from the race for cheating. That is not the first time it's happened at that race either. That's amazing. But, like, that's amazing that people have just actively gone to the start line and gone, all right, get ready to cheat.
It's like a, it's amazing. No, it's like a destination for cheaters.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you think it's a bit of a sheep scenario? Do you think people just see one person doing it and think, do you know what? They got the right idea.
If like everyone in front of you is going one way, you surely just like, yeah, I'll go. You wouldn't just go, hang on a second, I've wrecked the course.
And it's
a good one, that. Ali, you were talking about the hardest, was it the hardest geezer?
Hardest geezer. I'm just fascinated by the man. It's just, it feels like he's been in Africa for years now.
But I mean, he's trying to run the length of Africa,
And he's had his hiccups along the way. I'm pretty sure he's been robbed at gunpoint. He's had his passport stolen, everything stolen. I think he had to fly home because of visa issues. I mean, the man's sticking with it though, isn't he? You've got to admire it.
He's the hardest, Andy. He's the hardest geezer. Yeah, he's got an amazing amount of, like, it's a really good example of how to, you know, sort of from a social media perspective, of how to get people excited about it. Because he's got like a ridiculous amount of followers.
Yeah,
and he's pumping out videos every day, and they're all, every single one is more sensational than the last.
All you've got to do is run the length of Africa on foot.
Yeah.
There you go. It's easy, this social media stuff, isn't it?
I haven't done mine yet.
Have you not?
No.
I thought you had.
I just talk a lot, sorry.
<It's okay>. Sorry, do you want, please?
Yes. My highlights. My highlights. Well, basically, I was lucky enough to be in Budapest for the World Championships in the summer, so I got to sort of see Josh Kerwin and everything. But my highlight would be Femke Bol, who famously tripped in the mixed relay, the first event that she would have been in with a good chance of a medal for, and then sort of stacked it on the track. Really kind of quite a nasty looking fall. And you just imagine would have knocked the stuffing out of her confidence and whatever. But no, she got up, and then in her next event she went, she won gold in the 400 meter hurdles, absolutely smashed it. And then the best one, which was the last event of the whole championships, which is the 4x400 relays.
Yeah.
They were in like bronze position coming in to the final, to her leg. She takes over the baton and just runs the most incredible 400 metres I've ever seen. And the stadium was just, like, not one single person went home before that last event. Everyone was on their feet screaming. And she just, I mean, it was just like she had a different gear to everybody else. Yeah. And she just picked them off and then won gold for them. It was just incredible.
That sort of stuff.
Character, that, isn't it? Character. Such a poor
And she's
star,
a lovely, she's just such a warm and lovely, she's amazing character. And again, like, really good for athletics. Although, can I do one more little one from the World Champs? Which is another trash talking one. So Noah Lyles, great character, won 3 gold medals. And then brilliantly did some trash talking. So he basically called out the NBA league champions called themselves the world champions.
I saw this
and
great.
He was just like, that ain't the world champion, you're literally just American. I'm a world champion, you guys not so much. And it all just kicked off majorly.
When American athletes are going, sorry America, you're not as good as me.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that's good. Well, Andy, back to you, I think, for a personal highlight of the last year.
Well, it's not really running related. I mean, so I became a dad for the second time in June. So running has kind of been a bit sidelined for me. But obviously, as we know, running can fit into your life, whatever you want to do with it. So I didn't do any races this year, but obviously I just was running for headspace and, to be honest, to escape the house on occasion. So that was that from a professional perspective. Runners World UK turning 30, obviously, in September was a big one. I'm very proud that I've not been with it for that long, although I've been with it for half of that time. And it's quite proud that it's been around so long, from the days when you would enter races by sending in a paper application form.
Yeah.
We're still here, evolving and growing stronger. And I think I feel like obviously Tonki and Sam, the columnists in the magazine, both finished their columns, and we've replaced them with Sophie Rayworth and Damien Hall. So I feel like two legends of the brand went, but we've replaced them with just as strong people. So I'm proud of where we're at and where we're going to go.
Great, yeah,
it's good.
That was good, wasn't it?
It was really good. It's like you prepared or something.
Yeah.
Go on, and you go, Rick.
Well, on the Runners World front, I thought it was great doing the diversity roundtable.
That is
a podcast as well. That was a proud day for the brand, talking about what's been achieved in that space and what can still be achieved.
Yes.
And it was sort of a bit of an honour, I think, for us two to be involved in that chat, to be sort of allowed into it, which was nice. And then I think that my running I haven't been the most impressive runner in my own household this year.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's actually nice, because I think it has been like my running sort of taken over the household at certain times, like pre-kids, I think. But my wife Georgie ran a 1:35 half. She took 5 minutes off her half marathon time. So that was actually
amazing.
That was actually amazing, yeah. And I saw the amount of work she put into that, which was more work than I'd been putting into my PB attempt. So actually, I have to say that one, yeah.
That's good. Oh, well done, you.
Thanks, mate.
That was nice. That was very nice. Rachel.
Well, on the Runners World front, the highlight is joining the team last week.
Correct answer.
Yeah.
can't say much more. Yeah. I guess on the personal running front, I ticked off two more marathon majors this year. Chicago got a PB, so can't complain.
Please tell. I think you should say your time, actually.
2:50:52.
Quality running.
So that was great. That was great. And then 4 weeks later, decided to do it all again in New York. Not a PB. dragged myself around. Managed to get a sub-3. I'm
mega though.
Pleased with that.
Yeah, what a good year. Yeah, what an impressive year. Yeah.
How was the two back to back for you?
I mean, it was great because, you know, you get two marathons out of one training block. Mm. So, you know, two birds with one stone. Quite tiring.
Yes.
But as I said, I got the most out of my Esther. Yeah. So that was helpful. I already had some dollars lying about. That was great.
Financial investment.
Yes. I mean, I probably wouldn't recommend, but they're amazing races. Mm. And, you know, I want to complete the majors, so... May as well bash them out if you can.
Yeah, 100%.
Kate? I was trying to think about this. I've not had a great year of like racing or anything. Done some really nice races. But I was actually, this is kind of like, I guess, recency bias, but I'm literally just back from a weekend in Paris. And I went for a long run on Saturday. And it just sort of reminded me that the running is just fantastic as a means of sightseeing.
Yeah.
It's just such a gift to be able to, like, I did a 12-mile run and I went through the Bois de Boulogne, I saw Longchamp race course, I went past Roland-Garros. It was a bit of like a sporting tour of Paris, actually.
Yeah.
And then I ran along the Seine and I ran past the Eiffel Tower. And it was just like, you know, having then spent the rest of the time kind of walking around and getting the metro and stuff, you just see so much more when you have this gift of being able to...
Yeah.
You know, do it quite quickly and still see loads. So yeah. I think it's just kind of appreciating that has been my thing this year.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Appreciation for running is always good, isn't it? Doesn't have to be about racing.
Well said. Well said, that man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My highlight was a race. I got two. I'd say that I've not mentioned this before, but I went to Kenya and...
with your mate Evan Chibet?
Yeah, with old Big E. And that was amazing because I got that sort of peek behind the curtain that, you kind of see when you kind of get out there and you get your shoes covered in the red dust and you kind of like feel really like, wow, I'm here doing this.
Yeah,
this is where it happens. And then you realise you can't run very far because it's altitude and you feel you're a bit battered by it all. But that was a highlight because it's kind of, it really is totally different. It's a different world. It's all very sort of surreal in many ways because you're just sort of like, this nation produces incredible talent and you're faced with, you know, the stark reality of what it's like to live in Kenya. And there's quite a lot of poverty and you've got all these elite runners living in conditions which you wouldn't really consider to be an elite condition for an elite athlete, but they're all just doing it and they seem fine. And it's a really sort of like mixed bag of like, wow, this is amazing, but like, wow, this is different. And, you know, and so that was good. And then I did a race on the South Downs. It was just nice to do.
Oh, this is the ultra marathon.
This is my huge ultra marathon.
27 miles.
Which was just a marathon. Because we just had a really nice day. And it reminded me about running with, how running races with people and not just being out there like, oh, I've got like me individual on my own trying to get to the end as quickly as I possibly can. We set off as a group of five. We didn't finish as five, but that's fine. But we set off and did the majority as a group of five. And it was funny and we were laughing and it was, you know, there was that to it. It was a race and you wanted to be as fast as you could, but it wasn't absolutely all about that. That was great because that was like, it wasn't just road, and this was a trail race, and I feel like road stuff is always time specific and tends to be, and that's great, all good, like I'm all for people doing that, but it was really nice to have that difference of just being like, ha ha ha, like, oh, isn't this a jolly nice
a nice
time?
Day out.
Ali,
what about you?
Oh, I feel like I actually have done a lot of racing this year.
That's a good thing.
The perks of being childless with no responsibility. I would say for me, to echo Ben, I went to Kenya in June and got to run a marathon out there, which was absolutely incredible. So it was the Lewa Safari Marathon. So for context, it's to raise money for Tusk, the wildlife charity. And everyone goes out there, everyone fundraises, and then everyone's race places go towards all the work that Tusk does out there. And you get to go out and it's sort of like a big experience. Like, you see all the work that Tusk is doing in the community. And then on the last day, you run the marathon, which, as I found out when I went out, I think they have about 1,400 people running it and only 100 do the actual marathon. So it's a two-loop course and everyone else does the half. So I think immediately when I got out there, I thought, what the hell am I doing? What have I let myself in for? And it was the hardest race I have ever done. It was like an hour over my normal marathon time, hot, challenging at altitude, but so much fun. I think, like Ben said too, it was so nice to do a race and not be thinking, oh, I'm trying to hit these splits, I'm trying to finish at this time. Like, there were some people that I kind of bumped into on the course, would run with them for a bit, do a bit of walking. It's just totally different to anything I've ever done. And when do you get to run with like rhinos and lions nearby? I mean, thankfully didn't see any on the actual course on the day, but just like an incredible, like, sort of pinch me moment. Like, you'd be running like down this sort of dirt track and suddenly think, God, there's like a ranger over there, because there are actually wild animals really near me. Amazing.
Change of scenery
always
helps.
You don't get that on the big half, do you?
You don't.
You just don't.
Rhinos in Hyde Park. I say we should bring that on.
What a good list. What a good list.
What a great, our day out in Epping, there were some wild squirrels. We could have, like, there was some real danger there. Yeah. That was,
Well, thank you very much, everyone. Rachel, Ali, Kate and Andy for coming on the Runners World podcast, talking about the year in running. Any listeners, let us know your highlights and lowlights. Podcast at runnersworld.co.uk.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, yes.
We should say that. I don't know when this is going out. Hopefully before Christmas.
It is, Ben, yeah.
All right, great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Subscribe if you haven't already, everyone, yeah?
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.